This talk is from GreatCatholicHomilies.com. The homilist is Father Anthony Branken of the Archdiocese of Chicago on the sixth Sunday of Easter.
My warmest and most affectionate Mother's Day greetings to all of you here today. Certainly our mothers who are with us and those who are not with us. Our fathers, without whom there are no mothers. Our parishioners, and in a special way again to our First Communion children. And as I said, they do crown the Blessed Virgin Mary, and you do know, of course, that yesterday they received their First Communion. For the first time in their lives, they received the very body and blood of Christ. We pray that yesterday's Communion, which was the first, and today's Communion, which will be their second, will be the first of a million communions in their lives and a source of grace for their families and a source of grace for everybody in the world. It just kind of comes back to us. You know, also yesterday, they received the mantle of Mary's protection in the brown scapular of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. That's another old and beautiful tradition that our children were participants in. So today then, immediately after the homily, our children will place a beautiful crown on Mary. If she becomes the queen of their hearts, she crowns her the queen of our hearts, the queen of the Holy Eucharist. Think of how it all fits together. It really does. You got Jesus, the crowning of the Blessed Virgin Mary, First Communion, our families, Mother's Day. It all fits together because today and yesterday and tomorrow and every day, it is all about life. It is all about love. And in God the Son, in Mary his mother, in our families and through our children, we see that love and life are inseparable. There is no love without life, and there is no life without love. And the greatest example of this is a mother's love for the children she bears. In love, she has conceived life, and the life she carries is the fruit of her love. About 30 years ago, I made a statue for the garden at Our Lady of Charity Parish in Cicero. That was when I was a young assistant priest with Monsignor Halpin. And there was a statue of the Virgin Mary with child. But now with the Christ child in her arms, in this statue, the child was within her womb. In other words, the statue I made was a statue of Mary, and she was pregnant. Now, in those days, a pregnant Blessed Virgin was a pretty unique subject, at least in the United States. I know that in old Europe and in Mexico and in Latin America, there are many such representations of the Virgin with child, with child Jesus in her womb. And those Catholic and Latin countries are very Catholic in spirit, and they're untouched by kind of the Calvinistic and Puritanistic spirit which sometimes governs America. They are unlike us, where somehow people are ashamed to think of Mary with child. But I decided to do this statue, Mary, at the very beginning of her motherhood, the very beginning, with Jesus hidden in her womb, is my personal response to what I saw happening in our country at that time. It was only a few years after the government of the United States had said that it was a fundamental American right to kill unborn babies. And they were filling everyone's minds and hearts with confusing propaganda, trying to convince our poor mothers that if they were in a troubled situation, they could hire doctors to kill the child in their womb. In modern America, it looked like death was the new life. And the newspapers and the television and the movies, all owned by people who do not believe in God, let alone Jesus, conspired to convince us all that human life was inferior to our lusts and desires. And that if it served your purpose to take that life, then so be it. And a whole industry, a whole culture grew up around this notion of love for love's sake. And we became a culture of pornography and pleasure. This was our new way of life. Love was about love and nothing more. Love had nothing to do with life, had nothing to do with family, had nothing to do with sacrifice or duty. Love was about physical pleasure and nothing more. And in separating love from life, saying that children were not necessary and could in fact be eliminated if they weren't first prevented, our culture succeeded in degrading and demeaning love until it seemed no different than what animals do. Ask Hugh Hefner what love means to him, and he's celebrated in every newspaper and magazine in this country. Love takes its meaning from the possibility of life, and if we separate the two, life from love, love from life, we destroy them both. That's why I thought that if I made a statue of Mary with child, with Jesus, it might encourage us to consider that just as Mary's womb was the first home of the Lord of love, then any mother's womb is also the home of love as it lives in her baby. I had hoped that even if some poor mother were troubled and that she was maybe in a difficult situation because the love in her life was imperfect, but she still might take heart and rejoice in the little bitty love that's now living in her womb. How beautiful that our Catholic faith never fails to make the connection between love and life. Holy Mother Church never hesitates to teach us that love and life are inseparable, and in every circumstance. And she proclaims in all her teachings about marriage and relationships that love is about life, and love is never about itself. Now, traditional Catholic societies, they always understood this connection. That's why courtship and love and marriage were always very carefully structured in traditional Catholic societies, with chaperones, periods of engagement, dowries, formal weddings. These customs were developed to protect the mothers of the village and their future children. They knew that the mother was the most important person in the village and that she, in matters of love, must be protected and safeguarded by every possible means because of the love that she bore. Her love was sacred because she was the guarantor of life. How unlike our glittery, superficial world of today, where we have allowed our women to become playthings of powerful men. We've allowed our daughters and sisters to become toys for the cheap enjoyment of rude, crude party boys whom everyone admires because they can burp and drink while they're watching the Super Bowl. That's not how our Catholic ancestors ever regarded men and women. We have always understood that the relationship of men and women is respectful and reverent because love, their love, could always yield human life. Did you ever wonder why we Catholics are the only ones left in the world who do not believe in birth control? Because we still believe that no greater example of true love between a man and a woman can be shown than when they say to each other, I love you so much, I trust you so much, I have so much faith in you that there will be no question that we will raise whatever children God give us and raise them in the love of a mother and father, raise them in the love of a family, raise them in the love of a God. And we will not prevent children by any means, fair or foul, by pills or chemicals or devices. And we will trust God, the Lord of life, to see us through the difficult times. What deep love and trust and faith is demonstrated when couples say that their relationship will be fruitful, that their love will actually yield life, and that they will have as many babies as God sends them. Did you ever wonder why we Catholics seem to be the only ones left who have a problem with the gay marriage agenda? Because we know that kind of love is sterile, it's a dead end, it's not normal, it's not natural, because it cannot give life. And anything less than true, selfless, sacrificial love that is open to life, anything less than that is sterile, dry, and dead. There's nothing more senseless and pointless and deathly than the pornography of modern life where love has been taken away from life. So as Catholics, we see how it all fits together. All creation, the planets, the trees, the flowers and the fruits, the fields and the plains, mothers and fathers, they're all fertile and fecund and beautiful and life-holding and life-giving because they come from love and they give life. Our children also come from love. And they have life, and now they have life to the full, because Jesus is within their souls in Holy Communion. And they crown Mary on this Mother's Day as their way of thanking Mary and their own mothers for the life they possess and for the love they receive. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Hear more talks like these at greatcatholichomilies.com.